Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. My name is Jim, and I'm a worshiper. And I don't think I'm alone in the house tonight. Lord, we worship you and we lift up your name on high. You have been so good to us, Lord Jesus. While we were sinners, you already started loving us. While we were far from you, you gave yourself that we might be your sons and daughters, people with purpose, and we glorify you and we lift up your name tonight, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's certainly an honor to be with all of you. And thank God it's Friday. Amen. There might have been some folks where you work saying that all day during the day, thank God it's Friday, because they had other things on their minds. Some of you have worked many hours this week. Perhaps someone in the house worked 50, 60 hours. I want to give honor to you. We give honor to you for setting aside this time for such a wonderful purpose. And we as God's people, we've been changed, we've been transformed, we're new living creatures in Christ. But we kind of like getting together, kind of like family reunions when there's a lot of mamas in the house that know how to do some good cooking. When we get together as God's people, what a privilege it is to know that He's the one that has brought us together. This might have been the best week you've had in your whole life, and you have much reason to praise Him. This might have been the most difficult week in your whole life, and you still have much reason to praise Him. We thank you, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord. There are no limits to your goodness and to your mercies. Amen. You may be seated. When I teach and preach on holiness, I get mixed reaction to people. Sometimes I'm invited by pastors to come to their church, and they don't tell me what necessarily to preach, so I'll just show up sitting on the platform with them. Always the first thing out of their mouth is, we got a lot of folks missing this morning. Every pastor tells me that. I'm going to start telling them that when I show up. Looks like you got a lot of folks out, you know, so so we can just kind of get that out of the way. The next thing I tell them, if I'm going to preach on holiness, they'll ask me, you know, what are you going to preach on this morning? And I'll say, oh, I'm going to preach on holiness. You should see the palsy that comes over many of their pastoral faces. Dear God, not holiness. We told the congregation it's all not all that bad to have a bow tie wearing seminary professor here. Now you're going to preach on holiness. This can't be. No, it's going to be all right. It is such an honor to be in Wisconsin again. Sherry and I are privileged to do so and to be here with Brother and Sister Schumacher, such wonderful, precious people that the Lord has let us be friends with over the last couple of years, and that is truly a treat and a delight from the Lord. And your district secretary, Brother Caskey, and tomorrow with Bishop Putnam, what a jewel he is, and you all know that as well. And Brother Booker as well, he and I are, as well as Brother Schumacher, we're fountain pen users, so please don't hold that against us. It's good to see him here tonight. Do I have a presentation here? I'm ready for that. Maybe. It'll get bigger. Tonight we're going to end with communion. Those of you that have eyes to see and ears to hear, see that. We're going to end with communion. As we get there, you'll see the reason why. Holiness and communion are two very beautiful, I said beautiful, topics. Tragically, human beings have the capacity to take every good gift. James tells us every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor even a shadow of turning, but we have the ability to take good things from God and turn them nasty. Sadly, some people have taken holiness and turned it nasty by making it some kind of work salvation that you earn credit with God. You don't earn any credit with God. You get death if you get what you earned, but if you received his gift, you can have everlasting life. We didn't get here because we deserved it. We get here because he has called us. Next slide, please. We are living in the resurrection. We are living in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It started with, next slide, please. It started with his resurrection. And that resurrection, which happened, as we see in Acts chapter number 1, it's already started, it's begun. When people say we've been preaching the second coming of Christ for so long, how long is it going to be? When's it going to happen? I tell them it's already started. Christ's resurrection has already begun. With baptism in water and spirit, it places us within that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we are living right in the middle of his going away and his coming back. I don't know how long we have to live here. Now in my early onset of geezerhood, being that I'm follically impaired and have three grandchildren, early onset of geezerhood. I'm old, my wife's not, but I don't know how that works. I didn't think I would live this long, 53 years, didn't think it would happen. Thought the Lord's return would be much earlier than now. But we've been living in his resurrection since the day of Pentecost. It's already begun, and tonight there's an excitement. There's an electricity here in the air tonight. Maybe you've sensed a little bit of that. But baptism in water is what separates us from the world, because in baptism, Paul tells us that the bondage and the power of sin is absolutely broken. In Romans chapter number 6, should we sin that grace may more abound? And the answer is, God forbid. It's by baptism in Christ that the power of sin has been shattered and it has been broken. And that's one of the reasons we witness and we worship, is because the power of sin has been broken. And we're, of course, new creatures through the Spirit. His resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection, because his tomb is already empty. Ours shall be empty. I could take you to a graveyard in southern Missouri where my great granny is, and my great grands, a couple great grannies, and some great grandfathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. I can take you to the place where they're buried, but it's not going to be quiet forever right there, because pretty soon the ground's going to pop open and could you imagine the groundskeeper, bzz, you know, cutting grass, and all of a sudden there's a speed bump right there where my great granny used to be. Because we, the which are alive and yet remain, we're not going to keep those down which have gone before. His resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection. And oh, as we've already sung tonight, I don't really know how I'm going to respond in his presence. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I just can't wait. This white man can't dance. Can't jump either, but this white man can't dance. There's an angel that's got a job. When I get to heaven and walk through the pearly gates, I know there's already an angel tasked with the job of handing me my dancing shoes. You see, I'm not too concerned about streets of gold. That's easy. What I want to know is the coefficient of friction between my feet and gold when I learn how to dance in the presence of an almighty God. He has been so good to me. We don't deserve even to think about that day, but he came and died on Calvary so that someday those of us who have already made his abode in us, on that day he will say, all right, I've been living with you long enough. It's time for you to move into my house. Come on home, children. And folks that didn't enjoy worshiping here tonight, you might not want to go over there. I have good news for you. There's a choice. You can make your reservation someplace else, because we're going to have a whole lot of time worshiping Him. Sometimes it's going to be dancing. Sometimes it's going to be just falling before Him. Sometimes it's going to be in weeping and sometimes in laughter. Plan on looking up Moses and asking him what it was like to see a burning bush. And I kind of think he's going to say, I'm not going to tell you what that was like until you tell me what it was like to be in the house when everybody that was in the house had the chance to be filled with the presence of an almighty God. I'm not going to tell you what it was like to walk across dry ground where the Red Sea used to be until you tell me what it was like that you had the privilege of putting somebody down in the name of Jesus and they can come up as new creatures in Christ. You see, I think it's cool to put your hand outside of a tent every morning and just scoop up a handful of manna. But Moses is going to say none of that is to be compared to the time that y'all lived in when not just one person in a generation could feel his presence like that. Not just when King Solomon could hear God's voice two times in 40 years, but when we, the people of an almighty God, can band together in prayer and in thanksgiving, and He abides here with us. We have it better than Moses had it. I truly believe that. Living between the resurrection calls us for commitment of living as disciples. Living as disciples. Next slide, please. We have the opportunity of living in Christ. Not just that Christ lives in us, but we can live in Him. And that ought to jazz you. Okay? That ought to be like about the third shot of espresso in your coffee. All right? That ought to be like the high beams from a jet blinding and blazing into you to realize when He brings you out of the water and fills you with His Spirit that you have the opportunity to live in Him. Amen. Jesus sanctified Himself so that He might sanctify us. And the encounters with the resurrected Lord when He spent those few days between His resurrection and His ascension, the encounters with the resurrected Lord prepared the way for doing the Master's work. Two boys on the road to Emmaus kind of shuffled along on that day, that Sunday, that bleak day. Not only now is Jesus dead, but we can't even go mourn at His body. Not only is the hope of a new kingdom gone, but we can't even go and reminisce about what it might have been like around His tomb because somebody has stolen our Jesus. But it's in that hour they were joined with somebody on the Emmaus road, and he began to talk about himself from Moses and through the prophets, because all these scriptures testify of him. And he was about to pass them by, but they said, sir, won't you just come in and have a meal with us before you go on the way? And as they sat down and Jesus broke the bread with them, all of a sudden their eyes popped open. What was once a limp and a shuffle turned into an energized journey. The 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus had been a slow crawl, but the way back to Jerusalem was a sprint because we've seen the resurrected Lord. And they did not go back just to tell them then, but they went back to live out in the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 14 and following, 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 14 and following, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your, the Jim Little's translation says, your stupidity. You're just stupidity. When I'm wrestling with sinful behavior in my life, choosing not to follow His gracious invitation for an overcoming life, it's wrestling with being stupid. Let's just Let's just bring it out into the open. Let's set two paths in front of us. This path, the creator of everything. Not with Tonka toys and not with little building blocks, but out of nothing.
Amen.
Makes everything.
Right.
The one who knew how far to put earth away from the sun. And how to make it all stick together in a way that can sustain life. The one that knows all of that, the end from the beginning, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is the first and the last, the one that knows all of that says, I have a plan for your life. On the one hand, we have the Creator and His plan. On the other side of the scales is me and my brilliance. That would be kind of like my 18-month-old granddaughter getting on the other end of the teeter-totter with her papa on this end, wondering why her side's not going to come down. My tonnage, a little bit robust to be on the teeter-totter with Emma. By the same token tonight, if I am choosing between God's wonderful, gracious, loving invitation and my resistance of His purposes and His design, I already know which side's going to win, but yet sometimes I am stupid enough to make my choice instead of His invitation of life. Oh, it's so hard living for Jesus. It's so hard jumping out of the way of a Mack truck. To jump or not to jump? That is the question. Doesn't take any thought. Synapses fire. Commandments are given. You get out of the way. Because you cherish your carcass a little bit too much to have that bulldog imprint on your forehead. Serving God is not the hard way. Serving God is the easy way. And Peter said, to follow your own formal lust, that's stupid. But as much as which He which has called you is holy, be ye also holy in all manner of your conversation, your whole lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Talk about a holiness standard. Some people get freaked out when we talk about that in Pentecost. Oh, your holiness standard is up there. There's going to be a barrier to the world. Brothers and sisters, you and I don't set the standard for holiness. That's just a wee bit above my pay grade. For me to imagine I could create a plan for all of you to stay in God's grace and outpouring of His Spirit is to imagine way too much of myself. But to realize the one who resides in eternity chose to walk into the very finite path of human existence and become a human being like you and like me, and in that possibility say, you can be holy like I am holy. He is the standard of holiness. Pastors aren't the standard of holiness. District superintendents aren't the standards of holiness. And little old ladies who don't have the energy to do otherwise anymore, they're not the standard of holiness either. I say all of that with the utmost respect and love. God is the standard of holiness. And the beautiful thing is, because He is holy, we can be holy. Verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges everyone according to man's works, pass their time here, sojourning in fear or in respect. For as much as this is something you can know, Peter says, you are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversations, that stupid lifestyle on the past, received by tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I can't hardly look at this picture and realize that's what Jesus did for you and for me without kind of wanting to weep a little bit, because I didn't deserve that gift of his life that I could live. I didn't deserve the offer of the blood from Calvary. None of that was mine. It's what he freely gave for you and for me by the precious blood of Christ. We still plead the blood, don't we?
Yes.
We're still thankful for the blood of Christ, aren't we? We still believe it flows from the hill of Calvary. We still sing the old bishop's song, I see a crimson stream of blood. The cross might have been affected 2,000 years ago. But brothers and sisters, he doesn't have nail scars today. He still has holes in his hands and in his feet. Just as when he walked into that room where the disciples were and said, here, put forth your finger and put forth your hand. Those wounds were open. They could literally put their finger in his wrist where the nails were and put their hand in his side where it was carved open for them. Tonight, he doesn't have scars from the past. He still, his blood flows from Calvary for you and for me. And I need someone to know here tonight, you may have come with sickness of disease, of sin in your life here tonight, but the blood of Calvary is flowing in the house right now. There's still a crimson stream of blood. And it washes, it cleanses, it purifies. When we start thinking about holiness, a good place to turn is John 17. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. John 17, beginning at verse 15. This is his high priestly prayer, teaching us how to pray and seeing what he felt like was important for us. I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Whoa. That's the way I pray. That direct opposite of that. Lord, trouble come my way. Nobody know the trouble I've seen. Nobody but the Lord. And when trouble comes my way, I want him to just come and pick me up and take me to a higher ground. Here Jesus is looking face on at Calvary and says, I pray not that you should keep them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Tonight, our greatest need is not to get out of our trial or out of our difficulty. Our greatest need is to receive the prayer of our Almighty Jesus, who said that we can be protected and cared for and sheltered even in this present world. But brothers and sisters, he is not doing that simply biding time for us to go to heaven to be with him. Verse 16, we are not of this world. The reason we feel horrible here is because we don't belong here, just like Jesus did not belong here. If you feel really comfortable in this world, I would be worried. I had to go buy a new chair for my office a month or so ago. I don't know how many chairs and recliners I tested, because I needed to be comfortable. I mean, it's going to be in the office. So the leather has to smell just right. Ottoman has to be at the right height. Got to be able to wiggle down with a nice 567-page tome. and enjoy it for 3 hours without wiggling, except to pick up my coffee right next to the chair. So my chair needed to be comfortable. Some of us, brothers and sisters, have been trying to fit into a world we weren't designed for. Having trouble getting comfortable in this world, that's a good thing. Because we are not of this world, just like he was not of this world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify there is to be made holy with purpose. When anyone says the holiness doesn't matter, they are saying truth doesn't matter. It's a package deal. You don't go to McDonaldland and ask for a Big Mac without the sesame seed bun, without the special sauce, without the lettuce, without the tomato, without the little bread in the middle. All you got left is the two, maybe, all beef patties. You kind of get the burger as a... It's a package set. When you go into the shoe store, you don't pick out your shoe for your right foot on the brown rack and the shoe for your left foot off the green rack. Usually they're package deals. I did make the mistake one day of going to work without enough sleep. Wound up with a brown shoe on one foot and a Cordovan shoe on the other foot. Tragedy was I didn't realize it till 2 p.m. Holiness and truth is a package deal. You want to walk in truth, you want to walk in holiness. And if you want to walk in holiness, you want to walk in truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so even have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That is, he fulfilled his holy purpose, that they, that is us, we also might be sanctified through truth. And neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe. Does anybody have a neighbor yet that doesn't believe? Can I see a witness in the house? You got a neighbor that's not saved. Anybody got one family member left out of your extended family going out 3 or 4 levels that's not saved tonight? You got one left? Jesus says prayer is still speaking for your loved one and speaking for your neighbor. When he said, would you make that folk holy? Make them sanctified before me with purpose and design. So it's not only for them, but for those who might believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. We live in a world today that's more than happy to say, keep your religion to yourself, do the pious thing on Sunday, but keep it out of the public space, keep it out of my life. Everybody's going to believe what they want to. Jesus said that if we walk as one people in holiness, then the world can know that he was sent from the Father. The question isn't whether or not they notice our bun ladies, or that we, gentlemen, keep our shirts on in the summertime. That's not the question. The question is, at the end of the day, at the end of getting to know us, do they know that Jesus was sent from above with a purpose and with a design? Our holiness is a sign. Here's your sign, world. Jesus came to love a world. Here's your sign, world. Our holiness is God's sign that he is waving before the world. It's kind of like the guy that gets hired when appliance stores go out of business. And they go stand on the corner, you know, with those arrow signs, and they spin them. And they twist them, and they spin them, and they twist them. That's what Jesus is doing with his church right now. World, there's still a chance. Come and buy without money. There's still a chance. Come and drink out of the waters of the well of salvation. There's still a chance. Are you thirsty? Come drink from me, from water that you'll never thirst again. There's still a chance. And the way he's witnessing that to the world is that we are one people walking in holiness. People who don't want to walk in holiness are walking away from being a sign from Jesus that he came to a world. I have but one question for you. How selfish is that? I'll just get the question out here out front at this holiness conference. Is holiness a salvation issue? And the answer is yes. But it's not your salvation that's in question, sir or ma'am. It's your next door neighbor's salvation that's in question. Maybe you could be saved with not walking completely in his purposes and his design. I don't know. That too's above my pay grade. But the real issue is that your neighbor's never going to see the sign that God changed you and transformed you and is making you into his image. And he has a way to make you love a world that hates you and spits on you and spitefully uses you. He has a way to make you in such a way that if you're commanded to walk 1 mile carrying a load, you'll walk 2 miles carrying a load. And if you're shamed with the backhand on your right cheek, you'll turn around receiving the shame one more time. Jesus wants to change us in that degree so that your neighbor might have a chance to meet Jesus one day at his house. Can we make this a house of holiness, a place where Jesus abides with us here so that my neighbor might meet Jesus so that one day when Jesus calls all his children home, that our next door neighbors could go as well. Holiness has four acts. Four acts. Holiness is a drama. There are four acts to holiness. Act number one is getting out of the dump. Getting out of the dump. Never could figure out how my mother knew when I got into the cookie jar. I before there was closed circuit television, my mother somehow had invented that in our home. She could tell when I had been enjoying a chocolate chip cookie. Somehow, she must have had a pipeline straight to the eternal one. Nothing to do with the chocolate chip crumbs on my face. Brothers and sisters, we've been called out of the dump. 1 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Jesus is talking about being sanctified, remember? John 17. Peter's talking about it in 1 Peter, this call to be holy as he is holy. To be holy, act one, is getting out of the dump. But my mama wouldn't leave me out of the cookie jar. That's just act one. Let me tell you tonight, if you're trying to live in the world and live in Christ at the same time, that is a hard job. How do you stand in glory and hell at the same time? No wonder I feel confused sometimes when I try to walk in my path and my plan, and yet I want to come and worship him when his people are joined together, or when I'm studying in his word and I'm trying to be stuck between two opinions. You can't live there. It will tear you up. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. That's act one. Act two of holiness, by the way, that was the largest garbage dump in the world. I believe it's outside of Mexico City. People actually live on that dump. There are boys and girls who spend their whole day of their whole life on the dump, recycling garbage that people had thrown away. I'm not talking about picking up aluminum cans. I'm talking about picking up half-eaten sandwiches. People who live on dumps, not just there, but several others around the world which have people that live, build huts on top of human refuse. Jesus is calling us out of the refuse of this world. What an offer. What an offer. Son, you don't have to live there. But this is all I deserve. This is all I ever known. This is all I'm worth. You don't want me to come to your house, Jesus, because I'm not good enough to be there. His response is, son, daughter, let me take care of that part. You just receive my offer to get out of the dump, and I'll do the rest. You don't have to live there. Act number two is get cleaned up or get the dump off of you. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is God's work in us. Aren't you so glad he makes us clean? Can anybody else like me remember the watery grave of baptism when you went down one and came up someone else? Now, for some of you, it was an adult life, but for me, it was a child. But I can still to this day remember that time in 1967 when my pastor daddy put me down in the name of Jesus and brought me up. I felt clean. You see, it doesn't matter where you've been or what's happened to you. You're not good enough to be clean. But when you receive his holiness, he cleanses you and purifies you. But Brother Littles, you don't know what I've seen. And you don't know what these hands have done. You don't know what lust has been in my heart. That's all right. Just like that were the rest of us. But we've been washed and we've been sanctified. He's purified us and cleansed us. One day the lady came to Jesus who had the issue of blood. Many years, spent all the money because government-supported health care wasn't taking care of her adequately, so she had to get into her own bank account and had spent all of her wealth. She says, if I can just get my way to Jesus. I know I'm not supposed to walk in the crowd in my condition. I know I'm supposed to go sit in a hut. Anything I set on is going to have to be washed or destroyed. I know that any clay pot that I touch every single day for the last 12 years has had to been destroyed. What if I could just touch Jesus? Me, in my condition, everything I touch is considered unclean. But if in my uncleanliness I can touch the clean one, somehow I know he won't be contaminated by my uncleanliness. Somehow I believe my uncleanliness will be contaminated by his purity. Somehow I know that when I touch him, he won't shirk away. Somehow when I touch him, something's going to be different, and it's not going to be different in him being made unclean. It's going to be different that I will be made clean. Everybody else had been touching Jesus all day long. Everybody else had been pumping into Jesus all day long. But one person that wanted to be made clean. One person that wanted to be made holy. Because she was tired of living in the condition where she was. One person who wanted to be made holy got Jesus' attention on that day. When he got up that morning, I don't know where his itinerary took him, but it got pulled aside when one lady who wanted to be made holy touched the pure one. Tonight there's someone who can alter the trajectory of Jesus' quest for this day by saying, Lord, would you let me be clean like you are clean? Somebody here tonight, maybe you're wrestling with some impurity of thought or action or behavior. You know there's something in your life the Master's wanting you to give up so you can take the next step of discipleship. I want you to know it's safe to touch Jesus tonight. But he's going to make you clean, and you're not going to be the same when you come with that intent. When you come as a gawker, you can go home the same. a spectator. When you come for the crowd, when you come for the bread, and when you come for the fish, you can go home the same. But when you come wanting to be made clean, you will never, ever walk away the same. Littles, I don't know if I'll get anything out of church tonight, then come to Jesus with one request. Lord, I want to be made holy like you're holy. Don't know what it is you're wanting to do in me, but I know there's something between you and me that you would just as soon clean up and purify and make me more in your image. If you came to church like that every single time, I guarantee you'll have heaven's throne room attention. And he'll stop what he's doing and he said, somebody touched me. I have to warn you a little bit though. When you come to Jesus with that intent in mind, he will out you. He did not leave the woman behind him. He brought the woman in front of him. Woman, if you're going to touch me and be changed, you're not going to stay behind me. You're not going to go unnoticed anymore. You'll no longer linger, but I'm going to bring you right in front of me so that I can let the whole world know that you came unclean, but you're leaving clean. I'm going to mark you by your experience with me. So many people want to touch Jesus without anybody else knowing that they've been with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's not possible. You can't put your hand in the fire without it being burnt, and you can't touch Jesus without being changed. But that's not the end. We are not made holy to be trophies. We are not made holy to be clean. Next slide, please. Act 3 of holiness is getting a job, a commission. Those plebes went to military academy as freshmen and they were hazed that whole first year to see who could endure. And then they graduated. But when they graduated, that wasn't the, oh, thank you, go your way with your nice little diploma now. It was go have a week's vacation, come back because your carcass belongs to us for the next 5 years. Cleanliness is not the goal of holiness. Just like the degree is not the goal of going to college. There's cheaper wallpaper. Of this, I know. I have bought both. You can get a double roll on sale at the outlet store for $3.95. Won't tell you how much my last other thing cost. Holiness's goal is not about making you clean. It will make you clean, but that's not the goal. And if you learn nothing else in this holiness conference, that's worth the registration fee you didn't pay. Holiness is not about being clean. Sometimes we as Pentecostals, we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. The emphasis has to be put in the right place. Being clean is important. But let me use an illustration. My daddy a couple years ago had to have triple bypass surgery. Thought we'd just take him in for a little heart test and maybe a little something, maybe a little extra straw put in one of his arteries. And the doc said, that's not going to do the job. We're going to do this surgery. We're going to do it right now. You know what the doctor did before he opened my daddy's chest? He went in and washed his hands. But he did not have clean hands to walk through the hospital hallway coming through. Clean hands. Aren't they clean today? I just went to another clean hand conference last month. I took really good notes, and my hands are now 100% cleaner than they were before. I threw away that old 99.9998%. purity cleaning stuff, and I now got 99.9999998% clean. Aren't you impressed? No, the reason the surgeon washed his hands, because he was going to open my daddy's chest. He was going to put his hands next to my daddy's heart. He was going to cut off some arteries and replace them with new parts. Before he could do heart surgery, he had to make sure he had clean hands. Otherwise, he's going to put infection next to the heart he's trying to clean. Clean hands are not the issue. You came to this conference wanting to hear how long I think your lady's skirts should be so that you can be clean and pure. I have some answers, but that's not the main point. The main point is that this cleanliness is not about your hands being clean. It's about your neighbor's heart that needs to be transplanted. It's about your son or your daughter that walked away from Jesus and you're praying that they come back home again. It's about the boss on the job that hates you and you hate him until you get a hold of an altar and says, "Dear God, forgive me of my iniquity, but you placed me on this job so that that boss could have a witness to how awesome you are." Holiness is a salvation issue, but it's not whether or not you will be saved. It's whether or not your neighbor will be saved. That's why it's important. Mr. Madoff's in jail, you might have heard, because he had unholy accounting practices. The paper shows there's money over here. Really, it's in my big house. The paper shows I'm making them money, but really I'm taking other people's money to show them money so I can take more people's money and put it over here. In the end, he was found out. You can have all the bad accounting you want when it's your pennies. You can cook the books at your house all you want as long as it's your money. I can lie to myself every morning and say, "Jimmy, you are a rich dude. I looked at your play acting day trading account, and you got $5 million where you started with $5,000. You're up to $5 million. You're a rich man." When I watch my nephews and nieces play those games, shows all the dollars they want, I'm asking, "Where's the print button? Can we get some real money?" You can cook the books if it's about your money. But for some reason, the government gets involved when you're handling everybody else's money. If you're just worried about you being saved, holiness isn't near as critical as it is for you if you've been to Calvary and your eyes have been transformed and your heart's been changed and you're more in His image. And when you see someone that's not yet a child of God, your heart starts crying out to a Heavenly Father on their behalf. Instead of crossing a drunk in the path and saying, "I wish he would sober up," you cry out to your Heavenly Father. Say, "Dear God, is there some way we can show this man or this woman that you love them as much as you love me?" Brothers and sisters, when you have that heart, holiness takes on a whole new dimension. Some of the rules we come up with are wee bit negotiable. Okay? I was serving at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri one summer. Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, 99 degrees, 99% humidity all summer, I guarantee. So I took all Class B's, short sleeve. Went to church on the Wednesday night, couldn't on Sunday because of the job that I had working for the uncle at that time. So went to church, the local apostolic church, on Wednesday night, and I found out within 7 seconds that I had made a grave error. Because in the driveway were these little boys playing with a ball before church, and they all had long sleeve shirts on. And here I'd shown up in my Class B's, dress slacks, uniform shirt, but sleeve to here. I could have walked away and said, you know, that's their rule, but this is me, so I'll just do my thing. No. Because you see, that church served as a witness to their whole community. That church served as a witness to their teenagers that needed to get a hold of some truth. So I went to the PX that next day and was the only person on Fort Leonard Wood buying long sleeve uniform shirts for the last month and a half. I'm sure they had to find some and dust them off to get them for me. Who else is buying these shirts now? I am. Because it's a holiness issue. Some of you churches might say it's okay to have a short sleeve. Some of you churches may say it's not okay to have a short sleeve. If I go to your church and you're a non-ringer church, please love me enough before I get in your pulpit that you tell me. And I will take it off because I don't want to offend anybody. Well, Brother Lewis, you're being too timing. No, I'm not. I'm fitting in with the body, and I don't want any disharmony or pain in the body. You see, we, the local body, wherever I'm worshiping at that time, we have one purpose of being holy, and that is being trusted by God to have a job. You see, when the king gives you a job, that means he trusts you. He doesn't just call someone out of the back 40 that hasn't got anything on the ball and puts them in charge with priceless treasure. But he's given you and me the very words of life to share with our neighbor. He believes we got something on the ball. He's given us a job to do. And because of that, when he gives us a commission, we call that the Holy Spirit and its gifting. If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you are gifted by an almighty God. One prayer request I frequently pray wherever I go to preach is, Lord, would tonight be the night you let me see all the gifts that are in the room? Could you imagine what would happen? Pastor Schumacher, could you imagine what would happen if just right now our eyes were open in this house and we saw every gift? It's like a different spectrum of the light, you know, that ultraviolet that we can't see with our eye. If all of a sudden the colors that we saw when we looked at a brother and sister, we could see the shadings of God's gifting grace in their life. We could see the shadings of mercy and the shadings of exhortation, the shadings of gifting with liberality, and the shadings of prophecy and the word of prophecy. All these precious gifts that are in his body. I wonder if maybe in this holiness conference he'll answer my prayer request and let me see what he's already done. Because in this room tonight, everyone that's filled with his spirit is endowed with heavenly gifts to do the heavenly Father's purpose. And the reason he did that is so that you could receive a commission. Neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. I believe holiness is what's going to unify us, not what's going to divide us. Jesus says, I'm not just praying for them, right after calling about our sanctification, not just praying for them, but for everyone that's going to hear and believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. We believe in one God. I'm wondering when we're going to start believing in one holiness people. We will shout together about there being one God. Hear, O Israel, our God is one. We'll shout all day long about that, but for some reason, when we start shouting about being a one holiness people who have chosen to give up our own individual prerogatives for the good of our world, that's what's going to make us one. As long as you or I ask questions like, when we make statements like, when I see it like that, then I'll start doing that. We are saying, I'm pushing for divisions in the body until I understand it all. And my response to that is, God, have mercy on our soul. After all, this is a holy God inviting us to be a holy people. All I got to do is be willing to give up my filthy duds, my ratty clothes. And everybody knows if this tie looks good, you know who bought it. Okay? She bought it. That she. My only girlfriend. She makes me look good. Thank you. Imagine what it was like if we would bind together and say, Lord, make us all look good as one people. I'm not talking about the price of your clothes. I'm talking about the purity of your heart. Purity of your heart that says, I will not stick up for my privileges. I put those down in baptism. Holiness is not the barrier to folks coming to God. Baptism's the barrier. Because baptism says you got to die to you before you can live in Christ. Some of us want to preach a false doctrine that says you can live the way you want to and still have the Holy Ghost of God's blessings. Brothers and sisters, this ought not be. You got to die to self if you're going to be alive in Christ. Baptism is the barrier. Baptism's where we die. After that, it's all alive in Christ. So if the body, some things are very clear in Scripture. Don't commit adultery. Any questions? Do I need to break that down into 16 different languages for you? There's no question, right? Some other things are some questions, perhaps. How modest is modest? And that might look different in some different cultures. That's why we bind together as a people and we say, this is too important for me to make a choice by myself. If it was only about me and my family being saved, maybe it'd be all right for me to make this choice by myself. But I want the world to be saved like we've been saved. I want them to be a part of the body of Christ. This is too big for me to make a decision on my own. I didn't decide how to be baptized. Did you? How many of you got a pastor that you walk up to him and say, well, pastor, I think I want to be baptized into titles, and besides that, it's my salvation anyway. Seems okay to me. No, hopefully he or she's going to say, I only do one kind of baptism, all the way in one name. You want to do something else? You're going to have to go someplace else. When we bind together, we're not going to make choices on our own accord. And the reason is, we receive a commission in holiness. When you leave this holiness conference, the presence of God is going to go home with you, and you are going to know that you have a purpose and a design for being holy. It's not about being right. That's not the purpose of holiness. It's not about being better. It's about being holy so God can trust you with the job to let the whole world know who He is. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, O Lord, for my times of rebellion. Forgive me, O Lord, of times when I wanted to stand up for myself or do what was right for me. I thank you, O Lord, for watery baptism and infilling of the Spirit. Let that water flow on me again tonight, although that has been more than 45 years ago. Let the watery grave still wash over my carnal ways. Forgive me, O Lord, when I take an umbrage at leaders who point out their purposes, their understanding of the work of the body. Forgive me, O Lord, when I rebel. Forgive me, O Lord, when I ask why I have to instead of when do I get to. Forgive me, O Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We will not go home from this conference bragging about being clean. We will go home from this conference in Act number 4. Act number 4 of holiness is going back into the dump. The reason, this is the goal of holiness, the reason God made you pure is that you could stay clean when you go back into the world. Otherwise, we would do like Peter said on the top of Mount Transfiguration. Why don't we just build us a wall around this territory here and we'll just all hang out here. I'll preach to you, you preach to me. We'll eat together, wash each other's feet, play a little ping pong, and then you preach to me and I'll preach to you and we'll hold the fort till Jesus comes. No. The only reason God makes us holy is so we can go back into the dump. John 17:18, as you have sent me into the world, just like you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Philippians chapter number 2 tells us Jesus, though he was equal to God, did not count that for his own purposes. He emptied of his own divine right, emptied of himself to become a human being, to become obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter number 2, that's how he came, emptied of himself. Holiness's goal is that we go back into the world. We said earlier, Pastor said earlier, holiness keeps a fence. That fence isn't made out of concrete. It is not concertina wire. That is electrified. Instead, holiness is that which God has places in us that envelops us, wraps our mind, our heart, our emotions, everything that we do. So that we, when we go into the world, instead of us being contaminated by them, we contaminate them with purity. Leaven is used these two ways in the New Testament. Paul says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, somewhere around in there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He says, you've let sin in the house. And boy, was he talking about a hard case of sin. You can go look it up later. It's too ugly for me to talk about in mixed company with children present. That kind of behavior, he said, you got to get rid of it because it's destroying your church. So a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We got to get clean and pure. But the other direction, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a mama making bread. When she puts the flour and the oil and the things together, if she puts just a little bit of leaven in the lump, pretty soon it makes the whole thing rise. Brothers and sisters, you've got a choice. You can look at holiness as staying pure from them and walk around with clean hands being better than everybody else. Or you can have clean hands so the master can use you to do heart surgery whenever he needs you to do so. He is sending us just as he was sent. And we are not holy unless we are on the mission. I can't tell if you are holy by looking at you. I can't tell. Even if you look pristine. You even walk backwards through Sears electronics department so you don't look at a TV. That's how clean you are. You haven't bought a magazine since the war ended. Not Gulf War II, one, Korea, Vietnam, but World War II. You haven't bought a magazine since World War II because of ungodly advertising. You are so clean. You have to have people feed you because your sleeves go past your hand another yard. Ladies are so clean, they're putting Miracle-Gro on their head, hoping it grows more. And the men are so clean, they're hoping that they can look like Brother Booker and myself real clean, soon with chrome domes. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell if you're holy by looking at you. But when you live for the on Christ's behalf in the world, that's when I can tell you're starting to get this holiness thing. You might have somebody in your church that gets baptized on Sunday morning. I hope so. I mean, let me rephrase that. We all should have somebody get baptized on Sunday morning. I have found some folks, when they get baptized, they lay their pack of cigarettes on the altar immediately. And I have seen others wrestle for a couple of years. Some of those that got the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning, some of those might be living with somebody that's not their spouse. Some of those might be engaging in all kinds of illicit behaviors. But you know what they should be doing on Monday? They should be telling the world how wonderful Jesus is to them. Are they finished as a holiness project? There's none finished except for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But God will take their hungry desire and start putting them to work. Now, He's not going to make them pastor or missionary to India. He's not going to make them general superintendent tomorrow. That's not going to happen. But He's going to send them back into the streets. Now, we do have an example of that in Scripture of a man who was walking around without any clothes on, scarred because of sin, and Jesus actually did make him a missionary. Did he have his holiness garb all together? No, but he went home different than when he came to Jesus. He was transformed. Holiness, Act 4, is being on the job. Last slide, please, as we move towards communion. Holiness's four acts are similar to the four acts of the Lord's Supper. Holiness, I've got on the right-hand side. Holiness is called out, it's cleaned up, it's commissioned, it's sent back into the dump. When Jesus fed the 4,000 or the 5,000 or the 12, or when we read in Acts chapter 26 or 27, when Paul is feeding the 200 and some souls that the Lord let him be a part of and to help them be saved both physically as well as spiritually on that Malta island, followed the same four steps of the meal. The first thing Jesus did with the meal is He received it. He received it. I don't know tonight the condition of which we find ourselves here, but I kind of guess that all of us would have a little bit of pause if we knew right now we were standing face to face with Jesus, and He made public every thought we had the last week and a half. And it was very transparent that our whole life became open book for Him and the rest. I think all of us would have a little pause. Say, Lord, don't look at me. Like Peter in the boat, when the boat's shaking from the storm, he's afraid he's going to die. But as soon as Jesus calms the storm, he says, what manner of man is this that even the seas? You see, it's more frightful to die. I mean, it's less frightful to die than it is to stand in the presence of the Holy One. First thing Jesus did is He received. Act number one of the Lord's meal tonight and act number one of communion is to put ourselves in the Master's hand wherever we find ourselves tonight and trust that He will receive us, not to keep us as we are, but to take us right now as we are with His purposes and with His design. This is part one of my altar call, okay? You don't have to come up here. We'll do it right where we are. Lord Jesus, we as individuals, as families, churches, as a body of believers in Wisconsin District, we pray, O Lord, would You just receive us to Yourself. Lord, there's a brother and a sister in the house that's got some struggles in their marriage, but tonight they're here on this great Friday at a holiness conference, even though they got arguments on pause at home. But right now they put that argument in your hands. Oh Lord, would you receive the struggle and the difficulty there? Or there's a young person that's contemplating going to university and doesn't know which degree to follow or what school to go to, and people are pushing and pulling from all sides because of how brilliant they are and what they could do. Right now, Lord Jesus, I ask, would you receive that young person's offering of their future right now as they put it in your hands? Lord God, there's an elder in the house that's just retired or about to retire and facing questions of usefulness and value, can't run as quickly or stand as long or do as much as they've done in the past. And the enemy is trying to make them feel that they are less than precious to you and to your body. Oh Lord, would you receive them right now? Lord, there's someone in the room that's got disease in their body, and not like the lady we testified and worshiped with you together to you earlier, that has no trace of that cancer. There might be someone that's actually in the process of dying right now. We put that all in your hands. Somebody that's lost a job or finances are really poor, or maybe someone in the room that's just got a legacy of a couple $1 million. Lord, we trust that you will order our steps with need and with abundance. We put everything we have in your hands. I'm wondering tonight, church, are you willing to raise your hand right now to the Master and say, Lord, everything I've got, I put it in your hand. Lord, I don't know if you can use me, but I got everything I've got, I put it in your hand. The need for my city seems too abundant. My kids aren't saved, and my brother needs you. And Lord, so many needs. But if I could do anything in your behalf for the world, oh Lord, would you take what I have? I stutter. I don't have any good things to offer. But if you just take what I have, would you receive it right now? Receive it right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I want you to see, understand right now that if you raised your hand in insincerity, the Master receives you now into Himself. Do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. Do not despair. Do not face tomorrow in fear and anxiety. Instead, know you are in the Master's hand. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Act number two of the Lord's Supper is related to act two of holiness. He cleansed it, us, in holiness. But what did he do after he received the bread? He blessed the bread. Some churches, as you might know, call this the Eucharist. That is the Thanksgiving. It's okay to call it that. We call it communion, which is part four. They call it part two, which is the Thanksgiving. I don't hear any churches calling it part three. We'll get to that in just a moment. I'm wondering right now if everyone, I think this was an easy one for all of us. We want to receive the blessings of an almighty God. I'm not talking just about the finances and the back that hurts. We'll receive those things, but that's maybe 10%. We want that 90% of blessings. We want our minds stayed on Him. We want our emotions driven by kingdom principles and not twisted by the storm of this world. We want confidence every morning when we put our foot down, that we put our foot down in the name of an almighty God, and we can hold to His promise that the steps of righteous men and women, that they are ordered of the Lord. That's the primary kind of blessing I'm talking about right now. Would you with me raise a hand and say, Lord, I receive your blessing right now. Lord Jesus, we receive your blessings now. We receive your blessings now, and we give you thanks for them, O Lord. You are grateful for us, and we're giving ourselves to you. Now you receive us with blessings and thanksgiving. I receive that blessing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, bless my pastor friend, Lord. Bless my Sunday school teachers that are in this room. Bless the altar workers in this room. Bless the musicians in the room. And bless the IT people in the room. Bless the janitors in the room. Bless the people that work in the hospital that are in this room. Those that work in the manufacturing plant or at Walmart. Right now, I pray your blessings on everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name. I pray. If you receive that part of the altar call, would you raise your hand and receive the blessings of the Lord? Thank you, O Lord.
Lord, thank you for your blessings.
I receive your blessings right now. I don't have to see how you're fixing it all. I just receive it right now. I don't have to know how you're going to work it all out. You don't have to reveal that to me right now. I just receive that you are working it all out. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. I receive strength. I receive joy. I receive faith. I receive hope. I receive stability. I receive courage to testify of your name. I rebuke fear. I rebuke doubt. And in its place gives us the solid strength to be able to witness to your goodness and witness to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. I receive it now. I receive it. Woo. Oh, the Holy Ghost is in the room right now. I'm going to pause for just a moment because the Lord's wanting to touch somebody, a special second touch. Right now, if you just trust Him for that second touch that you need, receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, He receives a second touch right now from the Master, oh Lord. You know exactly what you're preparing Him to do. Give Him food for the journey, Lord. Feed Him twice right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Bless my sister, oh Lord. Bless my brother. Bless those in the back, oh Lord Jesus, that are hungering for a brand new touch. A second blessing right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whoa. The wind's blowing right now. Sanctify us with your breath, O Lord. We receive the breath of your Spirit right now. Oh, cleanse and wash. Oh, bless. Lord, you know what the enemy is ordered against individuals and families in the church. You know what the enemy is trying to do to block the work of the kingdom. And right now, we receive your blessings in the place of that. Even when we don't know what to do, you have armies around us. We receive that blessing right now. Yeah. Even when we don't know how to stand, we can stand still and see your salvation and your work. Every enemy that's ordered against us, every fiery dart of the wicked one ordered against us, it is diminished right now in the name of Jesus. Every target, oh Lord, that is against my brothers and sisters, it's diminished right now. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh, we receive your blessings now. Oh, that's it, sister. Receive a blessing from Him now. Oh. Oh. The Lord's calling the Church of Wisconsin, some individual churches and some members of those churches, to go to new places with His purposes and His design. But it's not going to happen until we become a holy people that He can bless with His purpose and His will. And in this room tonight are some men and women of faith that are willing to say, Lord, if you will use me, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I put myself in your hand. I receive your blessings right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I would to God that I could stop right now. I would to God that I could give an altar call right now and have you all rush to this altar and receive a third wave of blessing, His blessings and grace, His wave after wave of grace. But holiness and the Lord's Supper calls us to to step three, which I don't know what percentage of this congregation can receive, but I pray that at least a tithe, maybe a double tithe of this congregation can receive act number three. Not only did Jesus receive the bread and he blessed the bread, what was his third step? He broke the bread. I've never yet heard of a church that calls the Lord's Supper the fracture, the breaking. You see, we want to be blessed and we want to share, but we're not always comfortable receiving the breaking. Tonight, some of you don't have to accept the invitation to the breaking. Some of you are in the middle of it right now. Out of a congregation this size, there are some spiritual battles going on in this room, represented by this room. I want you to know, when you are broken, you are never closer to the Master's hands than you are then. Scripture tells me he can heal you from a distance. And he did in Scripture. And he does today. But I want to offer to someone tonight that's feeling a breaking, a fracturing in their life, I want to offer you the word of grace right now that says the Master won't take you through a breaking except that his hands are on you. We want the fingerprint of God on our church, on our ministry, on our family, on our lives. We want every song to be fingerprinted by God. We want every altar call to be fingerprinted by Him. We want every dinner table to have the hand of God on that table and everyone that eats there. We want to pack every child's lunch to go to school and the grace go with them there and keep them, but also to be a light there. But are we willing to say, oh Lord, do what you must do before you can share us? Lord Jesus, in faith we raise our hand tonight to the best of our ability. Say, Lord, whatever you got to do in us and through us and to us. Even if there's a breaking right now, I pray, Lord Jesus, we submit ourselves to your purposes. Holiness is not about my purpose and my comfort and me feeling good. Holiness is about being in your hand so that your will can be done. Right now, oh God, whatever you need to do in me to make me a holier man, a man that can be used on a job for you and sent into the world right now through faith, because I can't do it on my own. I got to be supported by the Spirit in the body. Right now, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you got to do in me, I place myself in your hands. Oh, Lord, bless this church, this congregation, and every church that's represented. Bless the Wisconsin district, oh, Lord. We place ourselves in your hands. Hold us, break us, I rebuke the spirit that says that you can't be used of him because you're in a difficult time. I rebuke the spirit that says 5 years from now you can do God's work because by then you will be ready. I rebuke the spirit that says you were used of God 25 years ago, but the time's past now and you can't anymore. I rebuke that spirit, and in its place, I put a submission to the Master's hands to say, Lord, whatever you want to do in me and whenever you want to do it, do so to your servant. In Jesus' name I pray. I see the few hands that are willing to pray your best. You can't deliver it. You're going to have to trust Him in the Spirit to help you pull it off. But would you say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I offer myself on the front line. Lord Jesus, you see submission of this, your people. I can't count them offhand, but Lord, it looks like about 60% are putting themselves completely in your hand. Whatever you want done. We're saying, oh Lord, holiness is not about us. It's about something you're doing in a world today. With migration patterns, with world fear of disease, with anxieties of school shootings, anxieties of the economy and governments. Lord, you're setting up a time for revival to happen. But in that, there's got to be some men and women that cannot be shaken by the storm. And Sid, they place themselves completely in your hand in this time. Lord, this congregation offers itself to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Act number 4 is communion, or having the sharing. Sharing. Aren't you glad when you got 2 candy bars in your bag, which means you got enough to share with your buddy? Aren't you glad when you go out to church, out to eat after church, and you got extra resources, can take somebody with you, you can bless somebody else? Aren't you glad when you've received the abundant blessings of the Lord and you encounter someone in need and the Spirit speaks through you before you got a chance to think about it? He says, is it okay if I pray with you because I think Jesus wants to do something? Doesn't that feel so good when the Spirit does that? That's what Act 4 says, Lord. We've received abundant gifts from you. We've received blessings. You've sheltered us with design and purpose through the breaking. And now we can be shared with the world. Lord, we offer ourselves to be shared with the world. We know that we don't bring ourselves. This is why holiness isn't about us. Because if it were about us, we would have nothing to offer. But since holiness is about you, we can offer these things to you completely. We trust you, O Lord, and we know that you will love the world through us. In Jesus' name, we pray. We pray. Lord, right now I pray for every co-worker of people in this room. Because as we receive your meal and the call to holiness, you are going to send these folks back to the job with an intentionality that goes beyond hard work and making a dollar to pay the bills. They go to be salt and light in a world that is walking blindly, blindly through the caverns of chaos in our world today. I pray right now for every one of their colleagues. I pray, Lord, for that colleague that gets angry at a brother or sister, not by even speaking your name, but just by walking holy. I pray, Lord Jesus, that that holy light through the brother or sister be able to reach out to them in a time of their need. And what they rejected, then they ask for on their own behalf. Lord, could you make us that kind of holy people so that the world sees you? Lord, I ask a blessing on that young person or that midlife person whose parent is confused because they've come into this precious truth. I pray, Lord, that the next time they see their family, whether it's this week as they go home or go visit them during the holidays coming up, I pray, Lord Jesus, a holy unction in that encounter, that maybe even a word won't have to be spoken, but the moving of the Spirit will be there as your holiness works through the brother or sister and into the life of the need of their loved one. I pray it right now in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, if the factory in town doesn't have any apostolics on third shift, I pray that a brother or sister in this room feels the blessings of the Spirit to go and talk to the pastor about the possibility of asking for a change to third shift. Because every shift at the hospital, every shift at the factory, every shift at the retail outlet needs to have an apostolic holy witness that lives on behalf of the world. Lord, would you bless Wisconsin Church enough so that every place where they work and shop and eat and buy gas be blessed by your holy nearness? I pray it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, instead of being bothered by the person who's slow at the checkout counter, you do realize they used to have to push buttons. That if something cost $2.19, they had to push a 2, a 1, and a 9. They couldn't just take it and throw it through a scanner. Kind of funny, I was talking to someone the other day about a watch that I had, and they asked, where do you put the battery? I have to wind this one. There were watches before there were batteries. Sometimes we get in such a hurry. This is why we like external holiness. Because we can be in a hurry and I don't have to be touched in my spirit by what God's doing. And I can feel good because my externals are in line. You can't condemn me because I'm holy. You can't call me to change because I'm already there. I pray that this week the Lord's changing our attitudes, pointing some things out in me, some holiness that He wants to make in me. So the next time somebody's slow at the market, I want a Holy Ghost light to blaze inside of my brain that says, Jim, maybe the machine's running slower right now to give you a chance to pray for this lady. Maybe this is about them and not about you. Maybe the long line here at the gas station is not about you, but about the person in the car next to you that you wouldn't dare even look out, but now you don't have a choice. And maybe you'll put your cell phone away. Say, Lord, you got me stuck here in a traffic jam. Which car do you want me to start praying for? Not bless them, Jesus, or I'm going to run them over. I have prayed that one once or twice. I want to bless them real good. I wonder if we could leave this holiness conference tomorrow and say, Lord, next time I get slowed by anything, I will receive that as a sign from you. That the pause is not about me. It's a pause about somebody for whom you've made me holy. And at that time, ladies, if you had the fight of your life fixing your hair that morning, gentlemen, things that you're wrestling with in anger in your spirit that the Lord's going to help you overcome, and you start walking in holiness without anger, you will have a reason to do so. The world can see a difference in you. Oh, holiness is my favorite sermon. Because in holiness, we are invited into very God's very work and His purpose. I like the holiness sermon even better than I like the new birth sermon. Because a new birth dunks you in, brings you up screaming with new breath. But it doesn't put you on the road with purpose. The holiness sermon includes new birth and pushing you on the road with purpose. This is why holiness is my favorite sermon. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We have some elders coming to reposition the tables out here. What we're going to do is these two sections of the church are going to come around this table and receive the elements. When you receive the elements, please go back to your seat and hold them until we're all together. I will give instruction at that time. These two aisles, rows, will come and receive your elements from this table and go back to your seat and again hold them. While they're getting those in place, is there a question or two that I could answer for you? This will not hurt the spirit. This will not hurt the spirit. This will not dampen what the Lord's doing. I want to have a question about holiness, not about the third vial or the seventh trumpet, you know, or color the black horses, you know. Any questions about holiness that we've had tonight? Any questions that I can answer for you or try to answer? Or have my wife answer for you since she's had to hear this sermon 8 times. Any questions? I know that this is strange, but any questions? A lot of Jesus' good teaching came from questions. Okay? Master, what does this mean? And I will start my session in the morning with question space 2 in case some occur to you in the middle. One of the reasons I use leavened bread at other places and in my illustration, I'll answer that for you now, even though tonight we're going to do what you traditionally do, that is use unleavened bread. The reason I do it is twofold. Number one is I think the early church, from my reading of church history and of scripture, they used the bread that was on their table. They didn't have special bread, they used their bread that was on their table. And all except for what we would call Passover season or Holy Week, leavened bread would be on their table. They would use the bread. Jesus used common stuff. Passover week, it was unleavened, okay? The rest of the year would have been leavened bread. Unleavened bread is linked to the Passover because it represents death, right? Death of the Passover angel, remember in Egypt? Exodus from death. Pentecost bread, however, go back and read it in Leviticus if you don't believe me. Pentecost bread was leavened bread. Because it was a sign of the new harvest. As a Pentecostal, tonight we are celebrating with the unleavened bread, and that is fine. I'm not judging, questioning. This is great and fantastic. But just to answer the question why I'm using this kind of bread, which does smell good, by the way. because as Pentecostals, we are about the new harvest. The field is white for harvest. We receive the unleavened bread, which is representative of his death and our death. But we also, from time to time, will celebrate with leavened bread, representative of the first fruits of the harvest. I believe the best days of the Wisconsin church have not yet been seen. We are not a poor us holiness people. If you're expecting that at this conference, you came to the wrong one. You want the church of the dearly forgotten, not the dearly begotten. Okay? We're the begotten of him. We are a blessed people with this message of holiness and the Lord's Supper. The second thing I want to say about the Lord's meal before we begin, some of us in our various churches and traditions, we have felt the spirit of fear from 1 Corinthians when we take the Lord's Supper. You probably all know what I'm talking about. A fear that if we take this unaware, sickness is going to come on us. I know as a kid, there were several communion services I went home wondering if that was really a bellyache I felt after communion or not, for fear that maybe I was the one that had taken unworthily. You see, brothers and sisters, when we come to the table tonight, we know we come unworthily. Except we come by the cross first. Okay, so I only have one table, one question tonight. I fenced the table with one question. Now, your pastor may do differently at home. Do not question it. Don't push back against it. But I only have one question. If you want to get closer to Jesus, then you can take of the Lord's meal. If this is your first service and you want to get closer to Jesus, would you please join us? If this is your 7,000th service and you got the Holy Ghost and the first one you ever attended, I still have the same question for you. Do you want to get closer to Jesus? And if your answer is yes, then the Lord's table is open before you. Stand together with me, please. I will be reading from Luke chapter 22. Instead of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is from a pathology. Pathology, that is a place of brokenness, okay, in the church, failure in the church, from pathology. So instead of reading from the pathology, I'm going to read from Luke 22, which is the prescription. Okay, this is what Jesus is saying to do, not Paul having to fix a place where they were doing it the wrong thing. Okay? Lord Jesus, we come to this place in this holiness conference with a spirit of celebration inside of us. A holy celebration, O Lord, because you are the one who has called us to this place. If there's any sin in us, O Lord, tonight we bring it before you. Wash us, cleanse us, purify us, but make it to the place, O Lord, that we don't come and take of the bread of life in anxiety or fear. Pray right now, Lord Jesus, if anyone is afraid to take of the bread, would you remind them of how much you love them right now? If anyone's afraid that they're not good enough to take of your offering, Lord Jesus, would you remind them that you paid the price with your life for this very reason, so they could with joy partake of your blessings? We thank you, O Lord Jesus. We present ourselves to you as a repentant people. Wash us, cleanse us, purify us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you'd start coming, please, around in a spirit of meditation. As you're doing so, and if you know the person in front of you or behind you, just start praying for them. Pray for your family. Your pastor's not here tonight, and your pastor's wife or pastor's husband, would you pray for them right now? Would you pray for some missionaries and some evangelists? We're praying for the wider body of believers. We're taking from the cup and from the bread. We receive it and go back to stand in our places, please. Lord Jesus, how wonderfully you put your body together. The sister that's taking of the bread right now, thank you for the gifts that are in her life. I pray that they flourish. Sister, O Lord, that's taking of the cup and the bread, this brother right now, Lord Jesus, you know the purposes and designs that you have in their life. Dear Lord, let a special blessing be on this brother and on his family. Pray, Lord Jesus, that each brother and sister as we come, Lord, sorry that you had to pay this price for us, but oh, we're so glad you did. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, that we take of this cup, we take of this bread with 2,000 years of the church. I'm in the church with Peter and Paul and John and Matthew and Andrew, who took of the cup and took of the bread. I take of the bread with the unnamed missionary to China, some of who died the Japanese invasion in 1936 through 40. They stood there defending the gospel, trying to protect the brothers and sisters that they were witnessing to in the Chinese community. And some of those seeds are still found in the Chinese soil, which is why the Chinese church is having such a revival today. I thank you, Lord, that you let me stand in that church. Dear God, I have brothers and sisters in Arab nations right now baptized in the same name into which we've been baptized, but their lives are at risk because they call on you. I thank you, O Lord, that you let me be in your body with such heroes of the faith. I pray a protection around those brothers and sisters, O Lord. Some of them might wind up dying for the gospel, and in their death they witnessed to their executioners, just as Stephen did to the one who stoned him. I pray for protection on the others, Lord, that through their life and witness, they can see a church raised up in Iraq and Iran. Lord, I got to go to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, back in the spring. We have some people there, but the country's predominantly Muslim. Give them strength in this hour, I pray, and in Indonesia, let a wave of revival go through Cambodia and Laos, Vietnam. Dear God, I thank you for the church in Europe. A nation that's walked far, far, continent that's walked far, far from you. But, oh Lord, you have a people in England and France, Germany, Bulgaria, Lithuania, Russia. Pray right now that you strengthen my brothers and sisters in the minority in those countries. They can stand strong and have a revival in this hour. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in the part of Africa that's suffering so under this dreaded disease. Some are missionaries and are there by choice, and others are native, born there and live there, and potentially dying right now under this horrible outbreak. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that those brothers and sisters that have eaten of the same bread and drink of the same cup, that you strengthen them in this time of their testing. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, Church in South America, oh, what revival you've brought to Colombia and Ecuador and Brazil. Dear Lord, would you let Argentina be ablaze for the gospel tonight? Could Chile be transformed? Could every island nation, the Pacific, have a witness to you? Lord, we don't ask tonight for more money for equipment. We ask for laborers in the field that can see when the harvest is white and know which implement to use to bring in each kind of harvest. Lord, I pray for every apostolic student and university right now. You said through John to one of the churches in Asia Minor that they were at Satan's seat and they stood strong. Right now I pray for my apostolic younger brothers and sisters at university as students, that they have walked straight into the places of lots of harm, but they can stand strong and be a witness for you at university. I pray, Lord, those pre-med students and pre-law students, I pray that you strengthen them by your word. Your word is truth. Use their fine minds and their abilities to achieve the goals that you've placed in their life. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you protect them and use them for your glory. Pray for every professor at university that's apostolic. Pray for everyone, a teacher in public school and private school alike. I pray for every politician, Lord, from the council, town council to whatever levels, Lord, where they're apostolics. I pray for their strength. I pray it now in the name of Jesus. Finally, Lord, I pray for this congregation here tonight. We accept the call of holiness, O Lord. We accept the call to holiness and we won't argue about it and we won't fight over it. We will recognize that it's a privilege so that the world might know you. Would you trust us enough tonight, Lord? Would you trust us enough to send us to someone that's got one shot at hearing the gospel? Would you trust us? Would you trust us, Lord? We present ourselves before you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Jesus said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Might I add, Jesus has been looking forward to this holiness conference. I know there's been some fasting and praying around here. Pastor and Sister Schumacher told me that, but Jesus has been waiting for this moment. For us to say, Lord, let your will be done in us. We don't say that with a sense of loss, but we say that with a sense of gain and triumph. Jesus said, I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. Lord Jesus, right now, we thank you for the cup. We thank you for this cup which was given, Lord. Your drop of blood, every drop which was shed for us. I can't tell you how much gratitude there is in this house right now, Lord Jesus. But would you just receive our thanksgiving, O Lord, for your gift, the blood which was shed for us. And we receive tonight, Lord, this is not just a remembering that you shed the blood, but we receive this even now as a sign and that your presence is here in a very powerful way. We receive this promise, and we do this not only in remembrance that you did die, but we remember that you are the resurrected one and that your blood still flows today. We receive of this cup, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, O Lord. Somebody in the house has been going through a spiritual dry spell. That's going to be shattered at this holiness conference and your service on Sunday. Right now, I speak the word of the Lord into that dry spell. I pray a water of refreshing. I speak a word. Speak a word of a... Oh, I just see it as a cloud the size of a man's hand right now, but I speak a word that a refreshing time is coming on somebody. Would you receive it now, even though you don't feel it yet? You've been so faithful, brother or sister. Thank you. Receive the blessings of the Lord. You've stood strong through the trial, and the night's been weary and dark. But the morning's coming. The Father's about ready to send the blessings which you cannot contain. Right now, I pray it in Jesus' name. Receive a blessing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, the price has already been paid. You didn't pay for it. All you got to do is receive it. The blood from Calvary, in Jesus' name I pray. Receive it. Your dry night is over. The refreshing morning is coming. Oh, in Jesus' name, receive it. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, Mary ran to the tomb that morning, that Sunday morning, hoping she could find somebody to roll the stone away, only to find it was already rolled away, that your broken body, she thought, had been stolen. But Lord, you met her on that garden path, and you called her name, and she called you Master. Lord, in this room tonight are some who feel like you have forgotten their name and where they live. I pray a blessing on this bread right now, as we partake of this bread as your body, that they will hear their name come from your lips. And I invite them to say, my Master. Lord, I thank you for your body which was broken, stripes for my healing, wounds in your hands reminding me of how much you loved me. Lord, your mama took you down from the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea helped her, and she took the crown of thorns off of your brow and had to remove another barb that is stuck in your forehead. Lord, thank you for doing that for us. We had no way to purchase salvation and no way to stand strong, but your body was broken that we might be strong. We thank you now and we give you thanks and honor for this meal, this bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive the strength of the Lord. Don't receive just the refreshing of his spirit, but receive the strength of the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles, and they shall run and not be wearied. They shall walk and not be faint. Right now, I pray a strength on the people of God. I pray a strength like these people of God have never known before. I pray a strength, O Lord, in our step, we can boldly walk in new places. I pray for a strength in our hand, that we can touch the feeble and the broken and the downtrodden, not afraid that they will harm us, but instead bringing strength to them, strength in our hands, that we may care for them. I pray for strengthening in our minds. Far too long our minds have been confused by things in this world. It's in this holiness conference our minds are going to be strengthened. And I proclaim it now in the name of Jesus. Strengthening of your body into our minds even now, I pray, O Lord. Pray for strengthening in our emotions right now. We've been in turmoil in our emotions, O Lord. Waves of pain and sorrow have swept our land and confused us. And right now, your body of strength come now to our emotions. Give us a stability, O Lord, that when everything is shaking that can be shaken, your church, which is set on a rock, it will not be moved. I pray it in the name of Jesus, which is above every name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, I receive it now. I receive a strength in my emotion. I receive a strength in my mind and in my spirit. Receive the courage, O Lord God, to walk in the strength of holiness even now, O Lord. I give you thanks for holiness in my life, O Lord. Not for me, it's for my neighbor. Oh, dear God. Dear God, I cannot come to church confused and hope to bring my neighbor in hope. I cannot come to church in turmoil and hope to show the light in the world, Lord, that they might know you and see you. In Jesus' name, the gifts that are in my brother, O Lord, I pray that they flourish and become strong. And the place, Lord, of things which might blow him from here and there, Lord, struggles and difficulty, I rebuke them. And in their place there be strength, Lord, of your blessings being shown to a world, salt and light. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus.